Today is the second Sunday in Lent, and the gospel appointed for today is from St. Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. Last Sunday, we beheld our Lord's triumph over the temptations of the evil one as we heard the words of the gospel. Jesus responded to each temptation, It is written. Against the lies of Satan, the sure and unchanging Word of God is our defense. The Word of God assures us that the Lord's words speak to us, living in our time. As the Word spoke to Adam and his wife in the garden, so the Word of God incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ, has spoken a word which endures forever. For Jesus declares in Mark chapter 13, Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The Word which spoke all things into existence tells us that his words are more enduring than creation itself. The Church treasures the Word of God above all creation, and so shall each Christian treasure it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? God leaves no doubt concerning his Word to us and its sufficiency. It is as St. Paul wrote to St. Timothy, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So certain as we can be concerning God's communication to man, his word to us, so also we can be certain that he hears our word, our prayers, to him. The worthless words spoken to idols are without value. The false gods cannot hear or save. As we hear in the Old Testament reading for today from Isaiah 45, They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image, and pray to a God that cannot save. But the living triune God hears the prayers of his people and answers them according to his perfect will. The Lord hears the prayers of his people and delivers and preserves them. Jesus spoke words on several occasions which are of great comfort to us concerning prayer. As we read in Luke chapter 18, Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The intent of the parable is clear, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And the argument is clearly one from the lesser to the greater. If even wicked men will eventually hear our petition. Certainly the elect of God pray with confidence that the Heavenly Father hears and will answer. Again, Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Please notice that in these two readings, the Lord addresses two matters of great importance to the Christian. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus says that God will avenge them, that is, his own elect, speedily. In other words, he will soon come in judgment. And this is the prayer of God's people in earth and heaven. We read in Revelation chapter 6, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed." It is as St. Peter wrote in his second epistle, "But the heavens and the earth, which now exist, are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So the church prays for the Lord to come quickly, and we know that he will answer that prayer at the appointed time, showing mercy to all who will repent while there is time. The second matter of great concern centers on the gift of God, where Jesus compares earthly fathers to the heavenly Father. And he says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The aid of the Holy Ghost and the comfort which he gives to believers is a great consolation to Christ's church. Thus St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." The Word of God assures us that when the weight of our troubles is so great that we do not even know how or what to pray, then the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. With these consolations concerning the triune God's promise to hear prayer, and there are many more such consolations, how shall we understand Christ's words to the woman of Canaan? God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father, and that we are his true children, so that we may with all confidence and boldly ask him as children ask their dear father. How then shall we understand when Jesus does not respond at first, and then seems to reject her? Consider the tremendous consolation which is ours because of the testimony of her faith. She perseveres, even when reason might imagine that the Son of God will either ignore her or reject her, because she believes the word of the promise. "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations." And again the Lord declares, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out from my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath." The woman's faith, therefore, clung to the word of the promise, and the knowledge of who Jesus is, and why he had come, so that she came and worshipped him. The more blind reason might conclude that he had rejected her, the more firmly she clung to him. What shall we say concerning ourselves? We are quick to doubt God's word to us. Adam and Eve put their own will before God's will, listening to the lies of the evil one, and the desires of their own flesh over the clear word which God had spoken to them. This is the point that St. Paul is making in the epistle reading for today. the Gentiles live in immorality because they do not know God. Thus Paul admonished the church, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. When we follow our own desires, whatever the sin may be, we are living a lie, for we are acting or thinking or living as if God's word were unclean, and you and I know that that is not so. Then we are quick to doubt that the triune God hears us. St. James admonishes in the first chapter of his epistle, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Natural man is like the sailors who carried Jonah, who prayed to their idols, but had no confidence that they would be heard and answered. God's word assures us to pray with all boldness and confidence, being certain that our Heavenly Father hears and will answer. Thus we read in the fifth chapter of James, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." And again we read, "Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, born in sin but clinging by faith to the mercy of God, as revealed in the Word of God. The Lord heard his prayer, and he hears the prayer of all who are his children through adoption in Christ Jesus. The way of prayer is open to us because Christ Jesus has accomplished our reconciliation. His blood has atoned for our sin, and through adoption into him, we receive the adoption as sons of God. Because of Christ, we call God our Father, for so he is, and his word is ever sure. He has given to all who believe a gift and blessing beyond human reasoning, the forgiveness of sins through the pouring out of his wrath upon his only begotten Son, so that he would suffer for us. God's word assures us, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Having been made partakers of the grace of God through faith in the Son, we are assured of eternal life because God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, assuring eternal life to all who believe in him. The Lord hears the prayers of his people, and he delivers and preserves them. The Lord delivers us from eternal death and condemnation. Surely he hears our prayers and will give to us what we truly need. Behold the woman of Canaan, and the faith which the Holy Spirit worked within her heart. Such faith is the gift of God, and so too is the faith which he works within all of God's people. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who seest that of ourselves we have no strength, keep us both outwardly and inwardly, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to join them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Sunday school is available for all ages at 9:30 a.m. On Wednesday evening, we invite you to join us for our midweek Lent service. It is a Vesper service beginning at 7:30 p.m. For more information on Salem Lutheran Church or this broadcast, please call the congregation at 533-2330. Or you may learn more about Salem on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship and the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild.